Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right. Inside the 10 p.m. hour on The Fan in New York, April 23rd. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. Another KM to AM till 2 in the morning. In 2 days, we'll be back in Yankee Stadium. The Yankees will return home for an AL East matchup with the Toronto Blue Jays. And they better sweep them. At least take 2 out of 3. They are going to see Jose Barrios. They're going to see Kevin Gausman and Chris Bassitt, who's been pretty good. So I really don't expect them to sweep. It'll be Carlos Carrasco versus Jose Barrios. It'll be Max Fried versus Kevin Gausman. They'll probably get that one. I'll be there for those games on Friday and Saturday. And then it's Clark Schmidt versus Chris Bassitt on Sunday. I won't be there Sunday. I'll be at the Somerset Patriots game. And then I'll be live on The Fan Sunday night after the Yankees series ends with the Blue Jays. The Yankees series just ended at Progressive Field in Cleveland, Ohio with the Guardians. And the Yankees avoid the sweep. And I felt like coming off of some of the frustration from Tampa, it kind of bled into this series. And Yankee fans are spoiled. I'm one of them. Yankee fans are never satisfied. We know it's early in the season. We know they're 15-10. We know they're in first place. But I was saying last night, I feel like they should have 17, 18 wins. And it's not that you lose, it's how you lose. And even when you're winning, it's not that you win, it's how you win. Yankee fans are examining every player on this team from their approach, every at-bat, their swings, where they are in the lineup, how they are in the field, what they're doing, what they're not doing. And obviously, there's a ton of things to be excited about. Aaron Judge is ridiculous. He's batting .415. This doesn't make sense. A .1247 OPS. Like, statistically, Judge is breaking baseball. He's breaking our baseball minds that he is 6'7", 280, and about to turn 33 on Saturday. And he doesn't look like he's slowing down. He's having the best start to his Hall of Fame career. Nothing bad to say about Judge as he goes out and adds another 2 hits, an RBI. And, he does what he's got to do. But, you know, now the noise is starting to get loud around other players on the Yankees. I think the only guys that are safe from criticism, they're marked safe from conversations about what should be done with them. Ben Rice, pleasant surprise. Ben Rice again today contributes. Paul Goldschmidt, Goldie Knox, all he does is hit. He's a professional hitter, hitting machine. I told you I prefer him over Christian Walker. There was even a conversation about, you know, whether we wanted Goldie or Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana, you guys saw during this series. Carlos Santana is batting 204. Paul Goldschmidt is batting 383. So, you know, those guys are at the top of the lineup, though. Now fans are starting to look at Cody Bellinger, who early in this game let a ball skip off his glove. There was even a part of this game where Jazz was going into the outfield to make a play, and I'm like, call him off, Jazz. And they almost collided. I don't mind Cody Bellinger getting thrown out at home. You know, he had to try and get that run. I was watching the game thinking, hey, this lead isn't even safe. Late in the game, obviously, another opportunity to put in Devin Williams with a four-run lead. They didn't do that. Luke Weaver, luckily that's a big ballpark. Talk about a big ballpark. Judge, too. That ball that Judge hit would have been a homer in 28 ballparks. It just wasn't in Progressive Field. It wouldn't have been in Chase Field either. But Cody Bellinger right now is batting 177. And fans have already forgotten about his back issues and his food poisoning. And they're like, yo, he's got to be better. Playing center field, hitting behind Judge, he's got to be better. Kind of crazy, right? Playing center field. Trent Grisham is a guy that was glued to the bench last year. I tweeted this out earlier. Funny how he could not play. He could not get off the bench. They couldn't find playing time for him because they strictly wanted him in center field, and Judge was there. Soto was in right. So the only time you were doing that was when you were DHing Judge and Stanton was DHing, and they just refused to put Trent Grisham in left field. They were in love with Alex Verdugo. Now we're watching these games and we're like, yo, we need Trent Grisham at the bottom of the order. 888-808-1019. Funny how you miss Trent Grisham now. He's on paternity leave. Hopefully he's rejoining the team Friday back in the Bronx. The middle of the order, when you start to get to Jazz Chisholm, I'm like ready to say some stuff about Jazz, then he does something where I'm like, all right, bro. But he's batting 165. And some of his at-bats are pathetic. And just this week alone, from arguing with the umpire, getting tossed, tweeting about it, and then dodging a bat that was nowhere near him, the ball skips by him, and, you know, I didn't want to die. It's just like, bro, what? It didn't matter. But then, you know, some of the at-bats, pitiful. I think that, you know, early in this game today, he struck out on 3 pitches, Volpe struck out on 4 pitches, and I think Wells struck out on 5 pitches, and I'm like, not good enough. Not good enough. I know it's early in the season. I know that these guys are everyday players, position players that can't be replaced, but I'm telling you, the conversation is starting to get louder around guys like Jazz and now young Volpe, who is not a young guy anymore. This is year 3. Anthony Volpe, it's not just this year either. He's about to turn 24. His birthday is 2 days after Judge, so Monday he'll be 24, and Yankee fans are now looking at his last 2 seasons in this season and saying, where's the consistency? Got to have some better at-bats. And he had a miserable day today, and he's in a miserable stretch. I don't even want to read the numbers. You know, today he goes 0 for 5 with 4 Ks, the golden sombrero, and then the last at-bat he grounded out, and it just was like, it was not. They're throwing fastballs at him, and then they're throwing outside of the zone, and they're chasing. And I watched the game. I know these umpires suck. They are terrible, but they're not helping you. So when that pitch is outside, fight it off. They're not giving you that borderline ball that's getting called as a strike. It's tough. He's in a bad one right now. I think Chris Kirschner had put out that he was like 7 for his last 54 or something like that. I'll get the exact numbers. But yeah, the conversation around Volpe is getting louder. Maybe dropping him in the lineup. Maybe giving him a day off, fans are saying. Fans are actually calling for Oswald Peraza. I'm going to tell you tonight they're not doing that. And that the Yankees aren't looking at Volpe in just his at-bats. How quickly the torpedo bat stuff and the early homers and success has tapered off, and the Volpedo nickname, that has evaporated in a matter of 2 weeks. But the Yankees are looking at him defensively and looking at what he's done, and they're not going to sit him down. They're not going to give him a day off. They may drop him in the lineup, and I'm in favor of dropping him in the lineup. Obviously, Wells is now lower in the lineup, too. He's batting 181. Volpe's batting 198. raise Jason Dominguez up? Or are we not going to do that because he's in his rookie season? Jason Dominguez today with two hits. Jason Dominguez, a switch hitter, hitting from both sides of the plate, starting to look comfortable now. Why can't he be raised up? Because it can't just be three hitters at the top of the lineup. It can't just be these guys getting on base consistently, Rice, Judge, Goldie, and then being stranded. Like, how many runners did they leave on base? I'm like, these guys. They were 5 for 18 with runners in scoring position, 13 left on base. 888-808-1019. It's not panic time. It is early, but we are fans. These radio shows are every day. You're supposed to react to what you're seeing that day and in that series, and that's okay. Let's go to Nick in Hillsboro on the Fan. You got it, Nick.
What's up, Keith? Listen, I love the program, man. You bring something different to the station that some of the other shows don't. So I appreciate listening to you. You're just real. Not that the others are fake. Again, you just bring something different, and we appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah. The last time before I get to my Volpe point, the last time I called in was the night before you did the Yankees radio broadcast. You had filled in. I hope you had fun, but listen, I think the Yankees missed a giant opportunity to bring a little bit more energy, maybe some youth to the radio broadcast. I wasn't the biggest John Sterling fan. I think his time was right, right? He's had a lot of mess ups and this and that. Somehow they got it even worse. I mean, Dave Sims is a horrible, horrible listen.
I mean,
there's no energy.
Nick, I just got to stop you. I know that, you know, people have opinions on Dave and John, but, you know, Dave is a pro. He's been doing this for years. He was doing it in Seattle. It's just different than John. There's people that have been raving about Dave Sims' calls. And, you know, I've been taking calls on this. I listen to Howie Rose. I listen to Dave Sims. And I listen to all these guys. It's just different strokes for different folks. And some people like this, some people like that. And I don't think he's horrible. I just think he's just different. It's not something that you're used to hearing. And as far as youth getting younger in the Yankees booth, like, I got thrown in there. I'd never called a baseball game before. I loved it. It was fun. My mind was exploding. I really was in over my head, but I wasn't ready to assume that role. The Yankees needed a pro's pro along with Susan Waldman, who is a pro's pro Hall of Famer, and they got one in Dave, and I think we just got to give them, you know, as a tandem, more of an opportunity to continue developing their style. But, like, I mean, it's also not permanent either. Like, it's subject to change next year and the years to come, and there will become a time where they hit refresh and they find, you know, two younger people to put in the booth. But I've got a ton of respect for Dave's resume and his style and what he brings to the table. I don't think he's horrible.
I respect that, right? And maybe I'm a little strong, but my 2 cents, I would have loved Ricky Ricardo. He was my first one. What he brings, I think, outweighs what Dave does. I respect Dave. He's got an awesome career.
Ricky is doing the Yankees broadcast in Espanol, Yankees baseball, and Ricky will sub in at some point. I don't think Dave is going to do 162-plus postseason, and you're not the only one that thinks Ricky is great. If Ricky was in here right now, I'd be pulling him in to come talk to me to be on my show. I see Ricky every night. When I come in and the Yankees are on the road, he does the broadcast here, and I dap Ricky up on the way out. That's my guy. Ricky's cool as hell, and he's bombastic. His voice and his everything. Nobody is saying that he, you know, wouldn't have been great for the job, but he already has a job, and maybe in the future he'll have that job. But then who do you put in the Spanish broadcast? We don't, you know, we've gone over this a bunch.
No, I get it. All right, so I'll come off of that. We could agree to disagree. In terms of Volpe, I think I've seen enough, man. He had the Gold Glove season, but now you see the errors are starting to creep up. His average is nowhere near where it needs to be. We thought he was the guy. He's clearly not. Like, I know he's young. I get it. I completely get it. But it leaves a lot to be desired. And I think the shortstop of the future is Lombard. You saw what he did in spring training. I get he's young. But he already brings more hope, I should say, than Volpe does. I think we've seen Volpe's ceiling. Like, this is it. This is who he is as a player.
I don't know. Thanks for the call, Nick. I just disagree with both takes. And, like, I don't know. I can take my personal relationships out of it. I think Dave Sims is good at what he does, and I think the Yankees made the right decision putting him in the booth with Susan. I've listened to their broadcast. The two of them together are baseball encyclopedias. And there's so many ways for you to take in a game now. If you don't want to listen to the broadcast, you don't have to listen. Listen to Kaster. Watch the game. Go on at bat and just, you know, follow the game on the game day thing. And then, you know, with Volpe, too. Man, I've told a story about running into young Volpe during the ALCS in 2022 when Peraza was getting the opportunity to start at shortstop because IKF had the yips and, you know, he was freezing in the big moment. And, you know, Volpe, I could tell, wanted to play. And I've talked about him being one of us and, you know, his parents being fans and them bringing him to the stadium and it being a great story. But all of that expires for Yankee fans if you don't produce. And here we are going into this season. I said, this is a big year for Volpe. And you know what? I mean, he homered on opening day. He had some homers in that first series. And, you know, the Volpedo and the torpedo bats like I'm talking about, like he did get off to a good start. But, man, he looks like he's in a bad one right now. There's people talking about how they're just throwing fastballs to challenge him. And he's got this, like, uppercut swing. He's swinging under the ball. And then they're getting him the chase. And, you know, he's kind of sitting there guessing. And the umpires are calling out a strike on the outside. And I don't know. This is what I'll say about it, though. Like, and you mentioned George Lombard. George Lombard Jr. is, I think, a couple years away. I think the kid is 19, 20. Like, he was just in high school. The kid just went to prom 2 years ago. I think he's like 2 or 3 years away. And I think the Yankees probably see those two playing together, maybe putting George Lombard at third base and having Volpe at short. They're going to work with him. He's going to work out of it. I can't say that I've seen anyone ceiling at age 23. When do baseball players come into their prime? None of them at 23. Unless you're Juan Soto, right? Juan Soto's prime might have started at 23 going on 24. I look at Volpe and I know he wants to be great. I remember hearing the stories about how hard he was working going into spring training where he did beat out IKF and Peraza for the job. And then the Yankees giving him this run where he never got sent back down. It's a ton of pressure to be the Yankee shortstop when you grew up, right, idolizing the Yankees and wanting to be the next Derek Jeter, and then you come up and they're showing pictures of you as a 9-year-old with Derek Jeter. We're all rooting for the kid, but at the same time, it is what it is. As I'm talking to folks on Yankees Twitter, they're like, oh, we're surprised to see you getting after him. I'm like, I'm not getting after him, but he's not above reproach. Nobody is. This is the Yankees. Somebody's always going to be the whipping boy. And Aaron Hicks ain't on the team. Josh Donaldson's been gone. Joey Gallo's been gone. DJ LeMahieu's coming back. Can't wait for DJ to come back. Fool me. Can't fool me again. I'm willing to be fooled by DJ LeMahieu, though. I see DJ homering and driving in runs with the Somerset Patriots. Come on back. If DJ can be 50% of the hit machine, right, the artist formerly known as La Machina, if he could be a little bit of that hit machine that he was in the lower part of this lineup, I know he can field third base. Then we might have something to play with here. But I don't think they're going to play with taking Volpe out of shortstop because of his glove and his relationships with the team and just how they view him and how they value him. They got to work with him. I think this off day is going to be good. I said that on Twitter, on Yankees Twitter. I'm very active during the games and after the game and before the game. And I'm live on Twitter right now. And, you know, I talked to a lot of Yankee fans, and I, you know, after the third strikeout, you know, the mics caught an F-bomb from Volpe, and I'm like, oh, he's frustrated. He needs his off day. But you know what can get him right? A series at home, short porch, and some home cooking, maybe some chicken parm, and let's go, Volpe. 888-808-1019, Vito in Howard Beach on the Fan. What's up, Vito?
Yes, sir. So I'm looking at some stats right now with Soto and Volpe. And I got runs 17 Soto, 12 Volpe. Hits 21 Soto, 18 Volpe. 5 doubles each. 4 home runs Volpe, 3 home runs Soto. 15 RBIs Volpe, 12 RBIs Soto. Base on balls 19 Soto, 12 Volpe. I say leave the kid alone and let him shine with what he's making. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the call and the numbers, Vito. I'm sure you guys can go on Baseball Reference and do the little side-by-side where you put Volpe together with Juan Soto. I'm telling you, they're not gonna bench him. They're not going to send him down. They're not going to put Peraza there. I don't mind getting a day for anybody in baseball. I think it's crazy when we expect these. I thought Jazz needed a day. He needed a cool-off day. After the tweet thing, he needed a cool-off day. And I know it's early in the season. What do you mean cool off, Keith? They just started the season. Yeah, but still, it's a lot. The Yankees just played a stretch of, what, 13 games in a row? It's a lot of the daily grind. And with Volpe, they're not going to quit on a guy. I'm telling you, they're not. So you can be mad about it, and you can go back to last year. They're going to work with them. They're going to watch some tape. They're going to hope that, like I said, some home cooking, getting back in Yankee Stadium gets it going. But it ain't just him. Jazz, I need Jazz to not be all or nothing. Like, I was happy to see Jazz with a little bloop single. I was happy to see Jazz work two walks. Like, come on, buddy. You don't have to, you know, live up to the torpedo bats. Isn't it kind of funny that, like, the guys with the torpedo bats that got all of this, and I knew it was nonsense. I knew it was just conversation for Yankee haters and baseball kicking off with some type of story that the Yankees are cheating. But the torpedo bats were centered around Jazz Chisholm, Anthony Volpe, Austin Wells, and maybe Goldschmidt. But Goldschmidt is a professional hitter. I don't care. If we go back to November, December, I was telling you guys, Paul Goldschmidt has been one of the better hitters. He's not done yet. If they bring him here, watch. And, you know, whether he's friends with Judge or not. But, yeah, it's funny how that all wore off. And I don't know how many nights I was on here. I said, it's not the wand, it's the wizard. It's not the arrow, it's the archer. The torpedo bat can't help you if you can't hit the ball. 888-808-1019. I expect the lineup to change. I expect DJ LeMahieu to come back and them to waste no time. DJ makes $15 million a year. He's a veteran. He's another guy with relationships in the clubhouse that they all love. And they will easily put him over Oswaldo Cabrera, Peraza. Expect to see DJ LeMahieu. Maybe Volpe gets dropped down a little lower in the lineup. I would raise Dominguez up a little bit, but expect to see a little bit of change with the middle of that, because the middle of the lineup can't kill him like that. It can't be all those strikeouts with Volpe and Wells and Jazz, and just like the way we get started with Rice and Judge and Goldie, those guys you can count on. I wasn't betting this week, but I'm like, I probably should have. Total bases, you could bet on Judge to get a single. I remember one day Judge to get a single was like plus 150. I'm like, he's guaranteed to get a single every day. Goldie too. Between Ben Rice, Goldie and Judge, they're all-stars right now. 888-808-1019. So now we have the Yankees on the table as well as the Mets coming off of the series that we saw today. The Yankees win 5-1, defeating the Guardians, avoiding the sweep. The Mets walk it off in 10 innings, 4-3, sweeping the Philadelphia Phillies. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. Dial up. We'll be right back. Keith McPherson on the Fan here. 888-808-1019. We're going to take calls from the Yankee fans now. I got enough text messages and messages online. Like, bro, enough with the Mets. We got it. I'm like, hey, I could talk Mets. I got no problem with the Mets. The Mets are winners. They just got a lot of loser fans that write to me online. But the team is fun. Those games are fun to watch. The Mets radio call is excellent. They just got a lot of nerds. Like, I was looking at this nerd. This nerd that was just talking to me right now in the chat has like a South Park character with a Mets hat on. It's always that. There's just a lot of dweebs that are popping up right now. Like, this guy's like, sucks to have to complain about your players. We have an embarrassment of riches. We've got McNeil and Alvey coming back Friday. Okay. Congrats. Anyway, like, we have Aaron Judge, the best player in the game. We've won so many times, we're just itching to win it again. We don't really get too pumped. We have 15 wins, we're in first place. We don't get too pumped about it. Instead, you know, people are in the chat and calling up talking about DFA Volpe, trade Volpe. in the chat right now, hot take. If Volpe doesn't improve, I see him getting traded at the deadline. I said no. They're not trading him at the deadline. Think about how many guys they could have traded for if they would have given up Volpe. And then he goes on to say George Lombard would get the chance or someone else because this experiment was a fail. It has not been a fail. I don't need Volpe to be an all-star. I just need him to have better at-bats and get on base. I don't need him to hit 25 home runs. I just need him not strike out as much. Put the ball in play and things will happen. We need you to get on base. We need your speed. So let's get back to talking to the Yankee fans on the Fan, the Yankees radio network. Moose is in Jamaica. Moose, I saw you were on earlier. I did the Mets thing for an hour and you came right back. You hung up and you came right back.
You're Keith. What it do? I ain't tripping, dog. Like, my mom's a Mets fan and like, she's a foreigner. Trying to get you all into the tennis and stuff like that. I'm like, watch the Mets. They're supposed to be really good.
There's Mets fans in my family too, Moose. They're just not allowed to, you know, be seen with me in public or come over.
No, it's my mom, bro. I can't fight that, bro. I told you, Keith, I'd fight anybody who says I can't root for both the Mets and the Yankees because my mom's a Mets fan. Like, when she came to this country, quick story, she's like, oh, the Mets are the team from Queens. We live in Queens. I'm a Mets fan. Let's go Mets. And the Sunday night baseball game in 2021, I think the camera's on me coming after our commercial break. My mom was screaming, let's go Mets. I'm like, Yankees, shh. My dad was wearing a Yankee hat.
Hey, it's New York, man. We share the same land, Mets fans and Yankee fans.
My dad turned into a total fraud. Not to cut you off. He's like, oh, Soto's with the Mets? Signed for $800 million? I have to watch the Mets now.
Your dad's not going to let you do his accent on the Fan.
50-year smoker, survived COVID, God knows.
All right, Moose, what are we talking about tonight?
Anyway, so to talk about the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Yankees, like the whole not panicking sort of like come up of momentum goes as far as the next day starting pitcher. And not to get at Yankees Twitter because, you know, I can feel like the energy of like the Bronx, like swaying every pitch. Like, I mean, for example, like I mostly stay quiet watching the game. It's frustrating, just blown away stogies, blown away bogeys every time somebody swings at ball four or every time, like when there's like a reliever that has to pull a Houdini act, I'm like doing yoga stretches, trying to work the nerves right so I don't stress myself out.
We're all right with this bullpen, though. The only one stressing people out has been Devin Williams, and I like that we learned today. No soft landing spot today for Devin Williams. We see Fernando Cruz control, Weavy Wonder, done. After Rodon went out there and, like, I didn't do this yet, but a round of applause for Carlos Rodon. He could have folded today.
Yes, he pitched a no-hitter in his career. He has a career lifetime ERA.
He has the stuff. It's never a question about his pitching, his pitch mix. It's about his headspace. It's about, can he overcome things? Can he not unravel? He was fine today. He was better than fine today.
Exactly.
Four hits, one run, gave us seven innings. Eight Ks.
Solid. This is phenomenal start.
It looks like he's turned the corner. Last two starts, great.
Exactly. And even more so, like the whole thing about, like, you remember, like, the talk going into the season was more or less, are the Yankees going to even make the playoffs? And most people with, I guess, a level head on their shoulders realize the American League is not so good. And as long as we have Aaron Judge and
there
he doesn't get injured.
As long as Aaron Judge exists.
It's a formality because there's no – when you spend $300 million on a team and you don't produce at least 90 wins, there's got to be something seriously wrong with the front office. But we've been doing this for 30 years. And I don't want to get into the big brother, little brother conversation because, like I said, Mets, you got Soto. You're expected to get there. So you take the pressure on. Let us be the underdog. I do not care. But getting back to it, like, you know, Goldschmidt, diamond in the rough. People wanted Christian Walker. We got him for 1 year on the cheap. Have other prospects that can come up or place him next year if he doesn't take your second-year option. Also, Volpe, his swing fluctuates. He doesn't know whether he wants to hit home runs or slap singles. Maybe he just needs an adjustment on his approach in certain situations. Like they say in the broadcast, situational hitting. But not even to get confused, Jazz. It seems like he's swinging for the downs. But occasionally he'll get his head together and take what the pitcher is giving him. So these are minor adjustments that the players on offense need to make. Because last time I checked, about 80% of our games were scoring at least 6 runs.
They score. It's just they leave a lot on the table. Thanks for the call, Moose. They score runs. There's a lot of meat left on the bone, runners left on base. Like that game today, they should have been up 7-0. The first run shouldn't have scored off of Bellinger. And like I was looking for situational hitting in the beginning. Just elevate the ball. Don't leave Judge on. Judge triples. Don't end up leaving him on third base. Like, am I wrong with that? I'm trying to go back because I was watching both games at the same time. When Jazz struck out, and then Volpe struck out, and then Austin Wells struck out, you left Judge and Belly on base. So that just right away, it's not enough. You're fighting to not get swept, and the top of the lineup does their job, and the middle of the lineup goes down swinging, and it's not like Ortiz was, you know, had that great of a start or great stuff. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's early in the season, and like I said, we are fans. We want the best out of these guys. We expect the best out of these guys. It's an early sample size, but there's just a standard, right? And when you examine the team the way we do, you're looking at certain guys to perform, and they don't. And You live with it, but ultimately you're like, all right, maybe we don't get swept, or you know, maybe we take the series, or maybe we have a couple extra wins. Like there are games early on with the Yankees where I'm like, they should have won. Like they should have won the game yesterday, the 2-0 lead. So they would have 16 wins. They should have won the game Saturday when they were up 8-4. So they'd have 17 wins. They should have won, what game was it? I won't say any of the Giants games. Because that first one, Stroman gave away in the first inning. And then Rodon with Jung-Hoo Lee. What game was that? Diamondbacks game. I was talking about this last night. That first Diamondbacks game, you have that lead and you blow it. So you could argue that they should have 18 wins right now. And then with Will Warren, I was talking about Will Warren, the will to Warren. You could literally look at all the Will Warren starts and say that if a couple decisions were made differently or a couple guys came through, Will Warren, he might not have all the wins, but they would be able to say, like, hey, young Will Warren, when he's out there, we feel like we can win today. And they've smoked a couple of those games. So it's just wanting more, coming off of a World Series loss, coming off of the Dodgers, well, ex-Dodgers like Joe Kelly and guys like Chris Taylor, who really weren't the main guys, talking about the Yankees' defense and lack of fundamentals and their scouting report and, you know, coming off a World Series where you relied on Anthony Rizzo and Alex Verdugo and Tommy Canley and guys like that. Like you want more. You want more, you know, and not to throw the Mets in there, but this is a compliment to the Mets. Like that's what I'm saying. The Mets have continued from where they left off last year in such an amazing way, pun intended, like, It leaves the fans saying, I'm good. I got nothing. I'm not going to make a big deal about this guy or that guy or this pitcher or Edwin Diaz or like, you know, they have picked up from where they left off. And obviously they didn't make the World Series, but they did go on a run to the NLCS. And it seems like just, you know, 5-6 months later, they're off and running like, you know, they're on a war path and on a mission to get back to where they were. 888-808-1019. It's a long way to go. It's a very long way to go. But, you know, this is the fun part of, you know, getting into the season when, you know, it's getting early late. And, you know, we get into May coming up. And, you know, most people say start looking at the team and really judging the team by Memorial Day. Well, we're hoping to have two first place teams well over 500 on both sides of New York. Let's go down to Memphis, Tennessee, though. Paul, welcome back. Been a minute.
Hey, it has, Keith. It's a pleasure to be back on the show. And great show, except for the first two callers. But since then, it's been awesome. It's been
I can't control that. I said it, too. I'm like, the first two, we got to do better.
Well, you know what? So do the Yankees. Because now they have this situation where Boone this year has a consistency of putting out almost the identical lineup, you know, game after game, and the players thrive on that. And you're starting to see like this vibe going, except that we have DJ and Stanton coming back. So when I love the story of, you know, Escara, you know, about how he, you know, he's the backup catcher and all this other stuff, but he's batting 143. What do we do with Ben Rice? Does he now become the backup catcher? And I'd love to get your perspective on, like, you know, all these changes are going to happen over the next 30 days. And what do the Yankees do?
Thanks for the call, Paul. These are good problems to have. Having veterans, having guys coming back that can help, especially when, you know, like Trent Grisham goes on paternity leave and you got to put Pablo Reyes in right field. And Pablo Reyes got the first crack at, like, platooning at third base, and he was not that great, and so they kind of put him on the bench. And these aren't bad problems to have. J.C. Escara, I know, with the, you know, he rose up and then the pass ball, whatever. But J.C. Escara is a guy that is expendable. If they can make Ben Rice an actual backup catcher, but I don't know if they can do that or they're willing to do that. You know, I don't know. I know, like, Bruce in Flushing called one night and gave me a number of how many minor league games Ben Rice had caught. And it was more than I had thought. But I think he profiles as a first baseman DH. I love that the kid has not wasted any time, you know, being a DH. We saw him today at first base in Goldie DH. And it's good to have some flexibility there between the three best hitters on the team. Rice, Goldie, Judge, all going to DH. But then when Stanton comes back, one of the best hitters, power hitters, a guy that it's going to take him a little while. And, you know, we'll see how they work those things out. Will they flirt with, like, getting Rice up to speed as a catcher so they could, like, you know, move on from Escara? And it's not wild to think about either. Like, Austin Wells hasn't, I mean, he had the leadoff homer opening day, but he hasn't been that great. Like, are they flirting with the idea? I don't think they are. I think they look at Ben Rice as a DH first baseman. They let him go back to his true position and catch in spring, but, like, I don't think that they're ready to have him assume the backup catcher role and catch once a week. But maybe I could be wrong. Maybe they're doing that in the shadows. Maybe he's working on some things. Maybe he's going to some meetings with Wells and Escara, and maybe that's the plan for when Stanton comes back. I mean, it's almost May. Stanton's coming back in June. And then with DJ, I just already know with DJ, like, DJ, they're going to put at third base, and they're not going to waste any time with DJ. He's a right-handed bat. He's a veteran, and they're going to put him in there and hope that he can turn back the clock a bit, and that's going to come at the expense of Oswaldo Cabrera and Oswald Peraza, and so be it. 888-808-1019. But I do want to, you know, keep the same lineup and get into a flow, but not this lineup. This lineup needs change. And then once they change it and have a little bit more success, where the lineup looks deeper and is more consistent throughout, then you can kind of have some of the same lineups going forward. But this lineup needs to change. I expect some changes. I expect Dominguez to rise. I expect DJ to come back. Maybe Volpe gets dropped a little bit lower. And, you know, we'll see what happens when it happens. 888-808-1019. Still talking about the Yanks. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. Okay. Moving right along here, about 2 hours down. So that means there's 3 hours to go. 5 hour KM to AM, not 7 to 12, 9 to 2. We will get into the NFL draft conversation, and we will talk about the Knicks once it turns 12, and then it's Thursday, and you start getting the vibes back up for game 3 in Detroit. Dial 888-808-1019. After the 11 o'clock break, we'll do the big shot of the night. Stay tuned for Tell Me Something Cool. And yeah, more of your calls, man. Can't wait to talk to you about the Yankees, about the Mets. We're kind of on the Yankees right now. Shout out to my guy Jay, who corrected me in the chat when I said they, you know, in the first inning, they left Judge stranded after a triple. It wasn't that. Judge scored. They left Goldie and Belly on base, though, where I was like very early in the game. I'm like, here we go again, not getting enough, leaving too much meat on the bone. Pause. I don't know. I feel like that's like, I don't know if that's how I really want to phrase it. Just too much food on the plate, too many runners on base. Just not, the Yankees are, you know, I want to see them like start a game where the first couple hitters of Ben Rice, Goldschmidt, Judge do their job. And then the middle, like, can they bat around? You know, can they like land a knockout punch in the first inning, score 5-6 run? Like, can they do that? I think they can. Maybe they'll do that against Jose Barrios for hockey jersey night Friday. Hey Keith, what time should I get in line for hockey jersey night? Get in line right now. Go get in line right now. Set up the tent. Go right now if you really want one. Val is in the Bronx, where probably 15, 20,000 people will be outside before the gates open on Friday.
Yes, what's good, King?
Hanging in there.
Val from the greatest address in all of baseball, baby. What's going on?
That's what Dave Sims says, the X.
There you go. You know, that's why I said it. I got a couple points about the Yankees, and if I can squeeze in one about the Knicks real quick. But you said a couple of things early with a few of the other callers, and I just want to address that real quick if I can. Yo, we need all this stuff with the you know, who's coming back and when we going to do this and when we going to do that. We need as many good players as we can have on the squad. I don't want to hear anybody crying about who's coming back and what do we do with this guy. Because to be honest with you, even some of the stuff you're talking about with Volpe, and some of the stuff that you're talking about with Jazz, if DJ was there right now, it would be the perfect guy. And you know how Boone is. He loves as many options as he can have. It would be the perfect time for him to say, you know what, Jazz, take a day and slide DJ over at second just to give him a rest. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly why DJ is going to be helpful right now, because he is that utility guy. And if he can do half of what we don't need him every day. We just need to squeeze him in every now and again, maybe to give Volpe a rest so he can get himself together and go have some chicken parm. You know what I mean? So I don't even want to hear all of that. And even with Rice, you know what I mean, with Stanton and all that stuff. You saw today, Boone is already trying to figure that out. That's why he plays him at first every once in a while. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's why he plays him.
In the Bronx.
That's why he plays him at first every once in a while, you know what I mean, just so he can get exactly that. So, you know, they're going to find ways to move these guys around and keep everybody going. And the more guys you have, the more you're going to keep the pressure up on everybody, even Volpe. Some of this negative talk might be good for the kid. He's pesky. He's strong like that. Sometimes when you challenge him like that, you know, good things happen. So it's all good. I ain't sweating that at all. And one more thing about Rodon. You said that too. He had a good start. I hope to goodness Boone can find a way to consistently make sure that Wells is the guy that's catching him. Wells seems to have a very calming kind of influence on Rodon. And if it's his mind that gets him tripped up from time to time when he's going in and he's having a good start, let it be that the guy that can settle him the most and seems to have the best effect on him. Because he even said that game that he had early in the season where people were talking about one of his greatest starts as a Yankee, he said it in the post game. Wellesley called a great game. Wellesley called a great game. That's all he kept saying. So let's try to keep that pairing together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the Yankee points I wanted to make real quick, if I can, before I get into the Knicks. Something, somehow or another, if there's some way, I like the dynamic of Goldschmidt, Judge, and Rice and what they're doing at the top of the order right now. The only thing, and this is like I'm not like crying or complaining about anything, but I think the best way to, because Goldschmidt seems to be, the way he's doing things now, as much as he's hitting for average, he's getting the singles, he's getting the doubles, he's getting on base and stuff like that. Maybe the best thing to do would be to leave him in that leadoff and let Rice move to that third spot. Just so that, you know, we're maximizing and getting the most production out of his power and out of Judge's power. Let there be opportunities where there are guys on in front of both of them. You know what I mean? And if Goldschmidt is the one that's going to keep getting on base like that, let it be that Judge comes up, gets his try, and let it be that Rice comes up. I'm not even worried about necessarily, like, let's say, give Judge protection.
Yeah.
Because clearly he's doing stuff without that. But just to maximize that production to get the most runs. It's the difference between Rice hitting a home run and putting one run on the board, or Goldschmidt being on, or Judge being on, and Rice hitting a home run and getting two runs on the board, or three runs on the board. You know what I'm saying?
Goldie's looking like a leadoff hitter with the singles and doubles.
Yeah.
I like the idea, but you want to go Goldie, Rice?
Judge.
You want, or
Goldie,
you want, but they're going to put the Goldie, lefty in between. You know, they're going to go righty-lefty.
Well, either one of the two. I told you already, I like Judge at the three spot anyway. So that's interchangeable. But let Goldie be the one that's leading off. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then try to figure out some way to get somebody out of the rest that's left to do something at that four spot, because that's killing us all the time. You know what I mean? And then, there was another one I was going to tell you, but now it's missing me.
Volpe, Jazz.
I got into so much with you.
Volpe, Jazz, pitching, relief
we
pitching.
We talked about it. Yeah, now we get it with all of that. That's what it is. I need some consistency. Let's get back to, like, trying to start focusing on winning series. That's the best sign of consistency. I can't have this, like, you know, we lose a series or two, and we get one, and then we fall right back in the. I need to see some consistency. Let's get it going and try to string. I don't even care about the, you know, if you lose the first. The best thing is to win the first game of the series. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you got a chance to win it. But let's start getting back to winning series. You know what I mean? Two out of three. And then if I can squeeze in one little Knicks thing real quick.
Yep.
You said something, Fizz, and I agree with you yesterday when you said it. And I think it goes to a different level, too. You know what I'm saying? Because I think a lot of what's going on and why, like, Knicks fans are skittish the way that they are right now is because, yo, this right now, and I've said it before, and I keep trying to find ways to say it, and it sounds abstract, but it's supposed, like, the regular season we went through and we gave you that we couldn't get those elite teams and we didn't beat them. So everybody's telling me that we're the top of, you know what I'm saying, everybody else that's left in the league. Fine, we went through that and we gave you that. We conceded that. And I understand that there was one of the guys who called the first game who was saying this was only the fifth time. When that first game started, it was only the fifth time in the season that Tibbs actually had his full complement. But that being said, we went through that. This right here is supposed to be like, if that was all basic training, this is SEAL training. This is Navy SEAL training now. We with the best of the best, and we're supposed to be trying to build on what we're doing game in and game out. Like, I gave you the first three quarters. And the way they ended that fourth quarter in that first game was supposed to be the way they started the second game. I need to see you building through the postseason, because that's the only way you're going to have any chance to get up to a level where you even have a thought of maybe beating somebody like Boston. You can't keep doing the same thing. I got to see you like pushing off. And every time you hit a notch, you move up another level. We ended the game great. With the way it ended in the fourth quarter, the second game was supposed to be us taking it to another level now. Start off with high energy, blow them out in that first quarter. You know what I'm saying? Because we're supposed to be using them as a training piece to get us up to what we got to do in the second round if we make it through.
Val, thanks for the call. I'll respond to all of that, but right now we got to go straight to Gordon with the update. We're up against it. Hit it, Connor.